from Psalm chapter 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations.
May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you.
May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth.
May the people praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you.
The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us.
May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him.
A shining face. Do we have a picture of what a shining face is? But perhaps when parents have a new baby, or when a dog looks adoringly at their puppy, or when a dog looks adoringly at us. If you put the words shining face into Google, you get everything about makeup for a shiny face. So it doesn't help much. How to prevent a shiny face. How to have a glowing face. The psalm has these words, make his face to shine upon us. It speaks of God's face smiling with favour on us. Peoples of the ancient Near East would speak of the shining face of a king or a god. And this image may have been based on the way in which a smile lights up one's face. Or it could have been related to the shining of the sun. Whatever it is, the shining, smiling face of God does not only convey God's pleasure, but also God's blessing. When God's face shines upon us, God pours goodness and grace into our lives. Like a child, dependent upon her parent for every good thing in life, the psalmist looks to God for the abundance of God's blessing. And God's shining face is an expression of pleasure, of delight. This is the experience of God's grace. The image of God's shining face appears in the classic Aaronic blessing in number 6 that we know so well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. You know, this passage, including the image of God's shining face, appears on 2 small silver scrolls that were found in a burial cave in what is called the Old City of Jerusalem. It's on the old road between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. These small silver scrolls are called the Ketef Hinnom. I have no idea if that's pronounced right. They were found in 1979. It's really quite recent. And the delicate process of unrolling these tiny scrolls while developing a method that would prevent them from disintegrating took 3 years. They contain what may be the oldest surviving text from the Hebrew Bible, inscribed about 700 years before Christ. They're very significant. I bring it up because they bear witness to the power of the metaphor of God's shining face. You know, the image of God continually frowning on us is a common image in the world. You could say this takes seriously God's displeasure over sin and failure, and perhaps rightly so, but it neglects the good news of God's love for us and delight in us. In Christ, we are God's beloved children, and God takes joy in us and seeks to bless us. How different our lives would be if we lived each day with the image of God's shining, smiling face emblazoned on our souls. How reassured we would be of God's love for us, and how encouraged we would be to live each moment for God. The Psalms. The Psalms are a prayer book of God's people. It brings about the Torah and the Messianic kingdom. And for an overview of the Psalms, can I commend to you the Bible Project on the web? It's the most amazing way of seeing the Psalms unfold. And also in the foyer, there's a book of all the posters that you can flick through. But it's particularly good to watch it because this is drawn on YouTube and it really brings it alive. It's good to watch as a group as well. Psalm 67 is a communal song of thanksgiving. Or, scholars have also called it, a prayer for God's blessing, or it's both. It has a theme of blessing and it has this universal perspective. It recalls Genesis 12, the promise of blessing to Abraham and Sarah and their descendants, a blessing that will somehow involve all the families of the earth. This promise is echoed throughout the Old Testament, including this psalm. And in the New Testament, Paul used it to support taking the gospel to the ends of the earth and opening the church to all nations. The message of Psalm 67 is the community of God here learns how to break away from all the narrowness in the reception of salvation. The psalm is concerned with the response of the world to divine grace. God has blessed God's people in order that the world might learn and respond by faith. God judges and leads the nations could be descriptions for the sovereignty of God, but they also represent an eschatological theme of what is yet to be. You know, eschatology is that part of theology concerned with the final events of history, the ultimate destiny of humanity, commonly referred to as the end of the world or end times, or as the Uniting Church's Basis of Union puts it so well, the end in view and the reconciliation of all creation. So we have the reality of these ideas in the present with the full realization of them lying in the future. The present blessings are a foretaste of those greater blessings to come for those who acknowledge the Lord by faith. So this psalm works on these two levels. The first, the effect of God's gracious blessings on the world. The faithful perceive that God's blessings have a purpose. Focus is using these gifts from God to bring people to faith. And we get this sense that God blesses people in order that the people of God, of the world will come to faith in him. And in the psalm, it refers to peoples or nations seven times. It's an expression of Israel's calling to be a light to all the nations. The psalmist asks that God's ways may be known on the earth and God's salvation may be known among all nations. The attitude of the writer is humility. The blessing of God is an act of grace. This is not about me, me, me or get, get. The purpose of the writer was mission. The writer saw that God would bless God's people so that the nations would learn through them about God and come to faith. And the second application is the eschatological application. The language of the psalm anticipates the coming reign of the Lord over all the earth, when God will govern and lead the nations, and the nations will worship and praise him. The psalm doesn't mention the Messiah, but points to the glorious messianic age when these prayers will be answered in full. If thanksgiving and prayer don't include a vision for the world, then the plan of God has been cut short. We need to acknowledge the future and embody the longing for that place where there is no pain. And so the psalmist invites us to envision this beautiful circle of blessing. Praise, more blessings, and more praise. And we see this echoed in Revelation 21. I do not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light. And then we have this beautiful picture of the river of the water of life. And then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. Here we have these similar words. We have the nations. We have a sense of blessing. Residents of the New Jerusalem will see God face to face. In this new city of God, the New Jerusalem, God restores the intimacy that humanity knew at the Garden of Eden. Here is a picture of a new earth, the hope of a new world where there is no night, no night in our lives, no more darkness, no more struggle, pain, conflict or grief. This is the coming reconciliation renewal, which is the end in view for the whole creation. Do we see it? Can we see it? Reconciliation begins in the immense love of God. And as we've heard already, God has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us this ministry of reconciliation. On the screen, we see a painting of the Tree of Life, but amateur artist from the APY lands. Here is a picture of the Tree of Life, part of the new earth. In the words of the Yamato women, we made these trees together, working together. When we work together, we can do anything. Here's a taste of the new earth, where we are together, all nations, all peoples, reconciled together, working together, face to face. The city is not the totality of God's eventual new world. It is the focal point of a world which will finally see God's light and discover God's healing, where worship will be face to face. So we have images of the future that beckon us along the way. In a sense, they work backwards, shedding light on our present darkness. Jesus promises us a peace which nothing in the present world can provide, a peace that which comes from and points to God's future. We can embody the promise of God's personal presence with God's renewed people. You know, in our contemporary world, plagued by injustice, divided by extremes of poverty, It is crucial that we hear the message of Psalm 67. You know, God rules and intends blessing for all the world's peoples. God wills justice for all, including equitable distribution of the world's harvest. We need to hear the message of Psalm 67 in a contemporary world that is torn by racial, ethnic, and national exclusivism and strife. And so this psalm assists us to engage the new challenge to recapture the ancient biblical vision of racial and ethnic pluralism, that God cares about all nations. This is a vision that's inspired by the psalmist, that is wide and is inclusive, reminding us that God so loved the world, the whole world. You know, we can be so self-centered. Just think about it. We're having a conversation with someone and they're telling us a story about anything, really. And what are we thinking about? How to top their story. Someone complains of an ache or a pain, and we then have to tell them about our aches and pains. We do it so readily. Or at least I do. Maybe you don't, but I do. You know, being self-centered means caring about yourself and your own needs. How often when we pray are the prayers about us? There is, of course, nothing wrong with taking our needs to God, but we're also to take the needs of others and to put others first. This psalm is about taking our eyes off ourselves and looking to God. This psalm can be simplified to know God, praise God, show God. God's face shining on us is the knowing God. The psalm is full of praise. Showing God is tied up with the end of the psalm where it says, "The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him." The psalmist recognizes and celebrates the fact that the earth's fruitfulness benefits all the world's people. I wish some of our world leaders would know that. Between August 2010 and November 2013, a fellow summarized the Bible on Twitter, one tweet per chapter, one chapter per day. You can look it up on the web. And so Psalm 67 said this: "May God be gracious to us and make his face to shine upon us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. The earth has yielded its increase." Remembering that God's love is for all nations, all peoples, and together we can know God, praise God, and show God. Let's pray together. Living God, thank you for looking upon us with love, mercy, and compassion. Thank you for delighting in us, being gracious to us. Lord Jesus, we praise you and sing for joy, as you came to earth that we might live. Forgive us for all those times we forget your love, when we become so engrossed in our own lives that we forget to love others. Holy Spirit, help us to know God, praise God, and show God each day. Help us to be reconciled to God, to each other, and to others we see each day. Help us to live in the light of your shining face, to reflect your love so that others will see you. Let us shine in this world, reflecting your light to others. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.